I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Why, hello, Ramblers. It's your very favourite host of your very favourite football podcast here. As you well know, every single Wednesday, we record an extended edition of the show, otherwise known as Ramble After Dark, where we talk about all the naughty stuff we don't talk about on the main show, exclusively for our Patreon subscribers. Well, something like that anyway. It's actually called Ramble Uncut, and it's 20 minutes of bonus ramblings about everything and anything. We chat about stuff on our minds, the stuff our friends of the Ramble have been talking about on the Discord, and your emails. You're about to hear yesterday's Ramble Uncut, featuring Luke's weird experience of a Rangers pub in Lanzarote, Vish's experience of watching football in India, and a very surprising email about blimps. If you want to join the conversation every single week, then get over to patreon.com/footballramble. That's patreon.com/footballramble.
Do you want me to give you an update from a man I met in Lanzarote?
Wouldn't mind.
It's quite a funny story.
Lanzarote.
Yeah. No, come on, it was a nice place.
Was it?
Yeah, it was lovely. I didn't go to the
Why are you not calling it Lanzo like everybody else?
Lanzo. Lanzo Carisian. Yeah. So I went to Lanzarote a week or two ago with the family.
Oh yeah.
And on the Sunday, it was a Liverpool-Manchester City game, and I really wanted to watch it.
It's a big one.
It's a massive game, obviously,
big game
at the time. And so I said to the Wi-Fi I have access to... The wife.
Okay.
That I'm going to go watch it. She's like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, take a couple of hours out, go and do it. My son's still too young to be involved, so he didn't...
To drink.
Yeah. No. to process for a football match.
Bit of brandy makes him sleep better.
So there was a sports bar in the hotel complex we were staying in, but it was closed. So I went for a wander and found a bar that was showing the game.
Was it a proper, as you would imagine, Lanzarote type place?
It kind of, well, it'll become clear. Okay. I'm going to make it
wasn't
sound...
Was it a Lineker's bar?
No, but I am about to... The story I'm going to tell is going to make it sound worse than it actually was. Okay. It was a quiet bar in a quiet part of the island, and okay. we were staying in a quiet part. It wasn't by the main strip or that kind of thing. Right. But I went for a wander for about 5 minutes, found this pub, or bar kind of thing. And it was run by a Spanish kid, like a Spanish guy.
How old are we talking?
Yeah, kid is interesting.
Look, I'm thinking, what are the rules there?
No, I think it was probably not a kid. I don't know why I said that. He's probably about our age. And he's just a guy. But he was mental. He was right. mad. And when I walked up the path to the bar, there's a big screen. Obviously, the weather's always beautiful, so they've got a screen basically outside, but it's there. And on the right, top right, I saw a big sign that said, "We are the people," right?
The Rangers.
Glasgow Rangers themed bar, right? And it didn't appear to have any other Glasgow Rangers memorabilia in it. And as I went into the bar, you could see some football shirts up and that kind of thing. But it had a big sign saying "We are the people" in the entrance, right? I was like, okay, that's interesting. That day also, Celtic were playing. Mm-hmm. From memory, they were playing, I think they might have been playing Livingston, but they were playing as well. So that game had already just started and we're waiting for the Liverpool Man City game to start. And the Spanish bar owner came out, said, "What do you want?" I said, "Love beer." Got me a beer. "How you doing?" That kind of, they were a very friendly kind of outward guy, right? Chatting to all the customers, talking about football. Saw a little kid, gave him a free pair of sunglasses, started talking about Lionel Messi, all that kind of good stuff, right?
From one kid to the other.
Yeah, exactly. Then, as I plopped myself down outside with a beer, I heard some people coming up the path, and it was four Celtic fans who wanted to follow to watch the Celtic game. And the Spanish owner of the bar saw them, looked at the Celtic game on the telly, and obviously started doing some calculations about the "We Are The People" sign, dashed out the back, right? Dashed at the front before they could get anything, see anything, put a tarp over that sign, had a Celtic shirt under his jumper and started going, "Hail, hail, we've got the game on, hail, hail," right? Massively cynical, right?
Love it.
Then halfway through that game, they were sat on one side watching it. They knew nothing about it. Halfway through, this is going to sound mad, and I've got a photo of this, and I'll share it with you guys. The cover came down, so the "We Are The People" thing was there.
What, fell down?
The cover that he put up like, hastily had just fallen off. So they're sitting there watching the Celtic game. To their top right, this cover comes down. There's a big sign saying "We Are The People." They, of course, aren't that happy about that. Yeah. At which point, no word of a lie.
Because they're shareholders in the bar.
You know, but listen to this. The Spanish bar owner sees what's happened, knows he can't get away with it, runs out the back, comes back out again, dressed as Santa Claus with a big mask on, and just starts trying to style it out by doing like the biggest dead cat thing you can ever see. And he's got a huge Santa Claus mask on and just starts giving out presents to the kid, trying to deflect from it. Wow. It was the weirdest thing. And I've got a photo of it and I'll share it with you. Goodness. It was the weirdest thing. I just didn't expect that to happen. I expected them to come out and say, "Do you know what? A few beers on the house, joke about it, stay for the game. Yeah. It doesn't matter." But that's what he did, and he just ignored the whole thing.
That's incredible.
My goodness.
Yeah.
No, it's closer to Easter.
Yeah. There's no reason at all. It was like 25 degrees and sunny.
You guys love Christmas, eh?
Yeah. He thought that'll do it.
You know, Christmas in July? Well, here's Christmas in March. Oh, man. Like, how many times has he done that, though?
Yeah.
Like, what situations has he managed to sort of pacify whatever with the Santa outfit?
It's worked once at Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then he's just kept it for every scenario.
There was
like
a brawl
that.
And he goes, "Come on, Santa's in," everyone, "Ah, all right, I don't."
Yeah, all the logic of if I hand out presents, I'm dressed as Santa, and I surround myself with kids, they're not going to attack me.
No.
Oh, that's he's just got the head.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. That's brilliant, that is. Did you see any Rangers or Celtic theme bars in India, Vish?
No, but there are a lot of
Irish bars. Are there Irish bars there?
There are Irish bars on the moon.
That's what I'm asking.
I'm trying to think. There were bars that catered for sports fans, which would have various different. It was like Carlsberg was quite common in India, alongside Kingfisher and other stuff like that.
Yeah.
Tuborg as well, weirdly.
Yeah, they've done a big marketing push for years now. I remember them sponsoring a load of festivals in the summer in London, like, and doing the only beer you could buy in there was Tuborg. So I think they've done a big outreach.
What about Cobra beer?
Weirdly, they don't have as much over there.
Oh, really?
Kingfisher's the local one.
Yeah, okay. Right. Is Cobra Indian in the way that Foster's is Australian?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
But it was designed for, I suppose, like curry eating, like English people in the way that, they took a bit of the gas out of the beer, and you know, you could have it alongside, you know, quite hearty food.
There were
a couple of times where like you'd always find places to watch the game, but because of the time difference, you'd often be in a place where they were like, "Oh, we close at you know, midnight, say," and you know, the game will still have 20 minutes on, and they'll be like, "Oh, we're really sorry, we're closed," having advertised the game.
That's annoying.
But then you're like, "Well, we want to watch the game." Yeah.
Is that is that licensing laws or just their decision?
They just want to go home.
Huh. And would the bars be packed with Premier League fans? Is it a successful export
and there? Yes and no. I think there was a couple of... So I watched the Liverpool City game in a bar in Dharamshala, which was a restaurant, and then they had an outdoor bit where they had this big projector up. And I think they were streaming it illegally, but it was fun. It was great quality. Loved it. But it was full of English fans. Yeah.
Right.
Because that's their big moneymaker. A lot of people go and watch, watch England play cricket in India. The actual spectator experience in India going to grounds is horrendous.
Really?
Not just for English fans, but for local fans
Why
as well.
Why is that?
Because they take water off you, they take sun cream off you.
Sun cream?
Yeah.
I'll be dead.
Anything. Basically.
Why sun cream?
Just anything that can be thrown.
Right, of course. Yeah.
And Vish, the reason
I ask... have it in a plastic little bag.
Well, no, it's absurd, yeah.
The reason
I
ask is just because when I spend a bit of time in the US, they are interested in Premier League and the bars do get full, and they particularly love the national team.
Yeah.
Because the national team have had some reasonable success. But they also massively love it when an American player is playing in the game in the Premier League. Right?
Yeah.
And India's never really had any success at international level, nor a high-profile Premier League player. So I wondered if that's part of the barrier, maybe.
Well, no, because, you know, everyone has a Premier League team.
Okay.
And, you know, like the India Super League, their football league has got quite a lot of high-profile backing.
Robbie Fowler's normally managing the team in there as
well. Usually. Yeah. So there is that taking off. But yeah, I mean, like, kind of everyone has a Premier League / European team, so...
Yeah, I think people can be so passionate about it. But you're right, I think that would turbocharge it.
I just think it can be a barrier. If you look at how popular it is in certain parts of Africa now, a lot of that is definitely turbocharged by players.
Not necessarily, because when I was in Kenya, probably going back, I don't know, 12 to 15 years now, they said that when Manchester United won the Champions League, it was as if the Kenya national team had won a huge game. It was everywhere. And when I went to, I was in Ghana a few years before that, and that was before we started seeing a lot of Ghanaians in the Premier League. And
they loved it anyway.
There's so many stickers, like particularly like Liverpool, maybe for slightly older people, obviously because Liverpool hadn't had the success that they'd have under Klopp. It was huge. It, absolutely huge.
Would you say the Premier League's part of the culture in India, Vish?
Definitely part of the culture. I wouldn't say that, but a lot of it is due to, well, it's down to accessibility. So because India are 5.5 hours ahead of the UK as it stands now, it is very tricky. The thing that is changing that slightly is the 5G evolution in India.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, Jio, one of the main providers there, one of the main phone providers there, they basically have the monopoly on mobile phones and stuff like that. So you're going to be in a situation where that kind of stuff is quite easy to access. And because of like various geo-related platforms, you end up getting the highlights and stuff like that and easy access to that
I find it amazing how the lengths people go to around the world to see, because, you know, you kind of take it for granted because we're in this country and this is the league, you know. And again, being in Ghana, we visited a Liberian refugee camp, and I can remember walking around that place just being amazed. Now, this was, when was that? 2008. So, obviously not pre-internet, but...
Not
pre
quite
a lot of what we have now on the internet, if you like. And I just remember being gobsmacked that you go around these kind of little makeshift sort of bar, cafe type places, and they'd be like, this Saturday, and it would be games like Portsmouth v Fulham or whoever in the Premier League. It'd be all sorts. And I was going, the commitment to the cause, you know, because some people can be a bit snooty about, oh, well, so many fans have not been to that stadium and so many fans this, and how can they really have a connection? Well, my goodness, you know, again, you try telling that to some people.
Yeah, I was chatting to someone who was talking quite a lot about how in certain parts of the world, the kind of prevalence of mobile phones and laptops now is really important because of power cuts.
Sure.
Like if you're watching stuff on, like, if you're watching a live sporting event on the TV, like I say, in certain parts of the world, the power cut can go on for 2 hours, and it happens three, four, five times a week, you miss a game. Laptop and mobile phone, it's a game changer because it doesn't need that. It's like battery powered, right? So it's just a big part of it.
Do you know that Owen Coyle is currently managing in India?
I did not know that.
Wow. Well,
I'm not that surprised by it.
Yeah, he is. It's always interesting to see who sort of pops up here and there. Yeah.
Teddy Sheringham was managing there briefly as well.
Love that.
David James was out there, was he? But was he a player? Yeah, that's right.
I find it funny.
And a manager. For 2-3 months. Yeah.
It's interesting that you talk about Ghana and places like that where it's really popular. I was in Brazil last year and was just in the hotel lobby, and I think it was Liverpool Spurs was just on. But even in Brazil, a country with its own huge, huge culture, the Premier League is there. We've been to a lot of exotic places here. We've been talking about Ghana, Kenya, India, Lanzarote. Can I take us to Norwich?
Norwich is a very underrated, beautiful
city. It is. It's got a lovely sort of thriving art scene as well.
I really liked it.
I think Norwich has seen Brighton. It's seen Bristol. It's gone, you know what? You can think we all share our cousins.
Yeah.
We're happy with the size we're at.
Yeah.
We're going to keep our community.
The East Coast needs something.
Yes. It does. So friends of mine went to UEA and there was a pub that they used to frequent fairly often. And it was a really pretty standard, normal pub until one day it was entirely decked out with pictures of Jose Antonio Reyes. including a cardboard cutout of him that was behind the bar. Now, the landlord and landlady, I think they showed football in the pub, but she'd never shown any particular interest in football before.
Right.
But she just got obsessed with him. The landlord,
so this was when he was a player.
Playing at Arsenal.
I just wondered if it was a tribute after he died.
No, this was when he was playing.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it was while he was a player.
Right.
And she just really took a shine to Jose Antonio Reyes, and just the pub was suddenly a Reyes-themed pub.
Bloody hell.
Out of nowhere. Apparently every inch was covered.
The only North London derby I've ever been to was at the old stadium, and he scored the goal.
Mm.
Scored the winning goal. That is it.
It's kind of a bit out of nowhere.
Massively out of nowhere. There's some interesting stuff going on there psychologically, I'm sure. But
but even if you're really into somebody.
I think the pub's closed down now, sadly.
It's because cardboard cutouts don't buy pints.
Yeah. Maybe that's it, yeah. She did gradually fill every seat with a cardboard cutout.
It's like that scene in Alan Partridge where he goes to that guy's house. Yeah. Everywhere. Him and David Copperfield.
Yeah, maybe.
Can I talk about someone else as well?
Yeah,
yeah, of course.
So I think about this guy a lot. I can't actually find any evidence that this guy existed, but I swear I remember reading this possibly in a tabloid newspaper a long time ago, because my dad's a big tabloid fan, so they'd be knocking about the house to explain that.
Daily Mirror?
Dadolf.
Absolutely. So I heard a story about a group of cab drivers who were part of a national lottery syndicate, and about 10 of them or so.
I know what you're going to say.
And they won it. And obviously, they're delighted to have won it. They were like, oh, yeah. We're
gonna. How much?
I don't think it was a huge amount of money. It might have been about 3 million quid, something like that.
That is quite a lot of money.
So, quite a lot of money.
It's not the 8 or 9 million.
It's like you might have to still work, probably. And it's a syndicate as well.
But 10 people, you said.
So, yeah, something like that. So, it obviously gets split up because it's a syndicate. When they go to collect the money, they realise that they're sharing the top prize because someone else had the numbers. And the person who had the numbers was one of them who had played the same numbers separately. So if they ever came in,
so he gets
half
plus his 10%.
Plus his share of what they want.
Unbelievable.
And like, I just...
The mindset of it.
You know you were going to absolutely destroy this friendship. Maybe he hated them all. Maybe it was a plan.
But the thing is, like, obviously if he played it with different numbers on, he's absolutely fine. Away you go.
Oi.
But like, he's playing such a long shot to stitch them all up.
Chelsea fan, definite. Definite. But speaking of that, have you ever seen that video, one of the earliest videos that went viral 20 years ago or whatever, of the guy who stitches his mate up by essentially stealing a look at his lottery numbers? They come to some sort of arrangement where he's like, can you get my lottery ticket for me this week because I can't get round to it? Or maybe his responsibility was to buy him for the group, whatever. So he buys his mate some lottery numbers.
Mm.
But what he buys him is last week's winning numbers, which no one would remember, right? Why would you check that, right?
Yeah.
And then he queues up his DVR or his video player, whatever.
That's naughty.
And at exactly the same time the broadcast happens, he hits play on the video recording.
Oh, that's naughty.
And so they sit around there watching together, loads of them. And they're all checking their numbers. And this guy, he thinks he's won like 10 million quid. And he is going absolutely mad. Like, he can't believe it's happened. And obviously then they just say it's naughty, but it is funny.
That's a sickening.
It is. Like, yeah. Because you, in your mind, you have lost $10 million, yeah. like whether you ever had it or not. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like
that, you're mentally spending that.
Yeah, or, totally.
But also just all the worries that you had prior to that moment have gone.
Yeah.
And like then they've all been solved.
Roaring back.
Yeah. I feel like
I can leave it now.
I think.
Imagine that. He started having a go at everybody. Yeah.
I've never liked you.
Yeah. That's amazing. I always feel like unearned money in that way is quite an unhelpful thing anyway. It's a bad story. So like, I feel like it's fair game, really. Yeah.
Depends when it happens to you in life, doesn't it?
If you're.
I don't think it's fair game, but I agree with the point about unearned money and a huge amount like that.
Doesn't take you any. Don't treat it respect. It's taken nothing to earn it.
I often think that it's better to win, say, I don't know, do they still do the pools? You know, like basically win like a quarter of a million.
My
or
uncle's best mate won the pools.
Did he?
Won 300 grand back in the early 90s.
Oh, so 300 grand in the early 90s, maybe a bit more. But I'm saying that.
He bought a brand new Vauxhall Tigra.
Oh,
remember that?
I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's better to for your mindset to. For most people I would know, I'm sure some people go, are you mad? But if you were to win, say, $500,000 or $250,000 or something like that, you could pay a few mortgages, you do something like that, but your life still kind of goes on. Whereas if you win $10 million,
my plan is win the Euro Millions, big one, $120 million, put it all on red, so then it's $220 million, and then
that's 240.
As soon as you said that, Vish pointed you.
Doesn't matter, mate, I'm rich.
As if to say, well, yeah, of course, that's the way to do it.
I would have gone black, but red's good as well.
Would you buy me a pint?
Thanks, but Jim, man. Why don't you put half on red and half on black?
Zero.
Then you feel like you've earned it. Yeah. Actually, no. It wouldn't be double your money because I think it's the odds of 5-4.
No, exactly. Right? Yeah.
It would be
literally chucking away money.
I'd see someone about this dyscalculator. That's what I'd do. Yeah. Go private on that,
and we'd never see you again.
No, absolutely not.
Fingers crossed. I'm all for it.
Right. Let's get Jim some lottery tickets.
Classic.
Oh, dearie me.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was. But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs. Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Gentlemen, I've got an email here or some sort of message from Josh. Kia ora, Ramblers. Nice, good start.
It's a nice Maori New Zealand greeting for hello.
And a refreshing drink. Following the blimp chat on Wednesday's Ramble, I had information that I simply couldn't resist sharing. Bizarrely, there are far less blimps than anyone seems to imagine, with the estimate that there are only 25 still in existence.
That's an incredible piece of trivia, if that's true.
Yeah, it is. This only refers to full-size blimps. There is some squabbling about the distinction between blimps and airships, with differences in rigidity, etc. Regardless, the total number of the whole category registered in the US is merely 39. As far as we know, only around half of them are still in active use. All of this means that there is a community of blimp watchers who make a hobby out of following slash tracking the few blimps that are still in use, which is a surprisingly simple task, even when accounting for the chameleon-like quality.
This is the best email...
It's a good one.
..we've had...
Since the Trebuchet.
Probably 10 years plus. It's an incredible email, this.
Well, he goes on to say, all this to say, football should make the blimp its thing. If each Prem team constructed one, then they would double the stock of blimps in use, which would undoubtedly be a service to the world. It would also be fun to have it available exclusive to Premier League sides, so relegated teams lose their Prem blimp, and promoted teams would then obviously get to utilise them however they wish. What would you see as the best use for said Prem teams? I love that idea. Here's your blimp, your Premier League
and
blimp.
Cup finals, they'd both be like,
love that.
Yeah, it follows you wherever you go. Yeah.
But if you get relegated, somebody from the Prem comes around and just shoots you.
Yeah, but then also...
And it deflates down to the Championship you go. No, but is it harder than the Championship? No.
How have you got into Bruce Forsyth?
It's great.
You don't shoot it, you just deflate it, because yo-yo clubs are going to be, you know...
Good point.
What are you going to say?
I would have it policing the skies so that whenever some knobber pays for a plane to have a message over it, they're like, put your big blimpy hand out.
Why do you assume they're a knobber?
Oh, come on. Yeah. If someone said to me, the thing is, I'm still reeling from is if someone said to me, how many blimps do you think there are in the world?
Full size.
Mm. I'm going, I mean, you explain to me about as much about rigidity as you want. I'm probably going in the thousands.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's rare. I thought I see a blimp, isn't it? But the world's massive. Like, I'm trying to, remember the last time I saw one.
Which countries are going in for blimps?
But it feels like a big deal, doesn't it? If you see a blimp, it's like if a husky walks into a pub. Everyone's like, oh.
Yeah.
But more so.
But the Goodyear blimp that they used to put over...
Which I've seen.
I've seen it as well. They used to do that at Formula One races, but I'm pretty sure it's around the A3 area in Surrey somewhere.
No, I'm talking about the one in the US. It was in California.
No, they fly one around that part of the world.
There's another one.
Yeah. I think you want to be... advertising on those blimps, the things that are happening at the club. I think you want to be...
Start at 11.
Yeah, start at 11 would be good. Mm. I think
so when
maybe...
you're on your way to the ground, if you're late and you think, oh, I've missed who's playing, you look up, there's the blimp. Oh, I see.
Subs.
Why have they got him playing?
Referee.
You could probably project video onto it.
I'd have the referee parachuting out of it to start the game.
No, that's just silly.
Come on, like when Bond and the Queen did it at the Olympics. Skydive into the stadium.
Yeah, that was so special.
I live so near the stadium, I actually saw Bond and the Queen like fall out of the sky.
Wasn't them, was it? Spoiler.
It looked like them from where I was.
Jim's spoiler about the London Olympics and that moment is that it was actually Daniel Craig and the Queen.
James Bond and
Sorry,
the Queen.
James Bond.
You're the only eyewitness that I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that I've heard of that I'm willing to listen to.
I think the London Olympic opening ceremony missed a trick not using a blimp.
Yeah. Maybe it did.
There must have been a blimp in there, surely.
Surely.
I think so, right?
We love a blimp.
Yeah.
Well, no, we don't know. That's what we're learning, isn't it?
Blimps are clear. I think of blimps in the US, which is why one of the, in the email, he said in the US, it's merely 39, told us the statistic there.
I would like to see a real influx of them, I have to say. I'm fascinated by this. I didn't think it would be so few in the world as that. It's remarkable to witness. It really is.
Would you be worried that a drone would kind of get in the way?
Drones are very much a new kid on the block, aren't they?
Yeah. I know,
A blimp would smash the shit out of a drone.
I don't think so. I would worry.
We'll consume it or...
No, but a blimp, a couple of drones with knives on the propellers going into the blimp, it's endgame.
This blimp has a mouth, apparently.
Yeah, go on. What noise does the blimp make? Yeah, they
like a big Kirby.
It's a very Super Mario Brothers noise.
Kirby.
Yeah.
Kirby's
a
blimp.
Yeah.
They are.
Great stuff. I'd love to, because the Trebuchet chat went on and on. We had like two medieval weaponry academics going at it, and then one of them turned up at a live show and the other one had just left, so we went and tried to get him back. Do you remember?
Yeah, he had to run after him and then he battered the crap out of him while we were all going, hit it, go on, do it.
He was just throwing little mini things going pestilence at him.
He's got a knife, it's a dirk.
I'd love
he'd did do 6 months, though. Look, if anybody,
I'd love this to run and run.
I would, if someone's going to go, well, this is absolute bollocks, and gives us some more statistics.
I would like someone to have some... I mean, Josh cannot... We can't have this knowledge dying with Josh. No. There must be more people out there who know the difference between rigidity and whether it's an airship or a blimp or whatever. We'd love to hear more about it. We really would.
Yeah, get in touch. Shout at footballramble.com, of course. There are other avenues, but you've got more characters on that, bruvs. Thank you for listening. If you want to join the conversation every single week, then get over to patreon.com/footballramble. That's patreon.com/footballramble.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.